Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this moment in time that we can look into your word, get instruction, get encouragement. Just thank you for your desire to be close to us. You have the Holy Spirit here with us, and I just thank you that the Spirit is in this building. I thank you that the people are here today. I just pray that their ears may be open, that their hearts would hear your words, not mine, that you would encourage them today and let them know that closeness is what you desire in each of us as we walk this earth with you. Keep my mind clear, my thoughts organized, and may my words be your words. In your name we pray, amen. So living close to God is a title I came up with. And preparing this message, I was thinking that the title was going to be How Close is Too Close? Thinking with the thought that we as individuals decide how close we allow God into our lives, if that makes sense. And then I was thinking the closer that God is to us, the more blessing we receive. And I'm thinking in my mind, like peace, that God is here to give us peace. And in my mind, I got a thought like, well, I'm receiving peace. You know, when we're close to God, we're receiving peace. And there's two, I want to focus on two things. The level of our faith, the shield of this, in the armor of God, the shield is described as the shield of faith. So if there's levels of faith and closeness to God, percentages, whatever, your shield is only that strong. Like if you have little faith, your shield is not strong. And the purpose of our shield, when we think of it, is to extinguish the arrows of Satan, of the devil, of the evil one. And then the level of our faith is almost directly related to the availability we have, or we allow God, the availability of our time that we allow God to have. So two things I want to look through today and focus more on: the level of our faith, the shield, and the shield that we carry then to defeat Satan's arrows. And then also the availability we give God of our time and how we allow him to work through. If I back up a little bit, I kind of misspoke on resting in the peace that God gives us. If we have the mindset that we are here to receive that and to keep that, I think we have the wrong mindset. Another story I want to look at in the Bible is the parable of the talents being... Someone was given 10, someone was given 5, someone was given 1. The one that had 10 created 10 more. The one that had 5 created 5 more. The one that had 1 buried his. And if we think of receiving God's peace and God's blessings and we just keep them to ourselves, we're like that one that kept it. Not like the one that gave, like used it to gain more or to give it away. So I'm kind of really rambling a little bit, so maybe the time might be long. But if we go into the power of our faith, two areas I want to look at is the level of our faith and how that compares to our availability and how much we are available to God. When Jesus was on earth, he spoke many times of faith. In Luke 18, your faith has healed you. In Luke 8, your faith has healed you. Different times where he had miracles and he performed miracles, he actually told the person who was being healed it was their faith that healed them. Their faith in Jesus being who he is what actually healed them. In Mark 5, he says it again. In Mark 10, he says it again. In Matthew 9, Luke 17, your faith has made you well. in Luke 7, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. In Acts 3, Peter and John, we all know the story. They were going to the temple and they met the man and he asked for money. And Peter said, I don't have money, but I can give you what I have. He gave him a belief or a faith in Jesus. And the man believed and was healed. If I read that scripture here in Acts 3:16. If I back up a little bit, if you bear with me, it gives us a background. And Peter speaks to the people that witnessed this man's healing. He said, while the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one, and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses to this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and now was made strong, it is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can see. So it was the faith in Jesus and the name of Jesus that healed that person. If we contrast that level of faith to Matthew 13:58. That's the key verse of that. But if we back up again and read a little bit more, the background of Matthew 13, if I start at 53, Jesus had started his ministry. He was performing miracles, and he went to his hometown. This is what Matthew wrote in Matthew 53. When Jesus had finished these parables, he moved on from there. Coming to his hometown, he began preaching, teaching the people in their synagogue. And they were amazed. Where did this man get his wisdom and these miraculous powers, they asked. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Aren't all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, Only in his hometown and in his own house is a prophet without honor. And 58, here's the verse I want to really focus on, I guess. And he did not do many miracles because of their lack of faith. So we believe in the power of prayer. And when we pray, God tells us, you have to believe that what you pray for actually will happen. Like we don't just offer prayers and think, well, you know, maybe. But I think the illustration of this, the faith that was just illustrated in these different people's lives that had faith, in 58 we see the contrast where there was no faith in Jesus in that area. No miracles were performed. Like, the faith almost unleashes God to perform his miracles. Not that we give God power, but we do kind of have a control of how much we allowed God's power to work through us. And if you look at the shield of faith then, well, here I have a question for us. What level of faith do you possess personally? If you would think, what is my level of faith? Do you have the faith that would heal, as it said there, that their faith had healed them? Or do you lack the faith that God decides, you know, his miracles aren't going to happen? So when we think of the shield of faith and the armor of God, if I read Ephesians, many of you might know this by heart, but Ephesians 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. The purpose of the armor, right? I mean, that was, if you just dissect that verse, Put on the armor so you can defeat, so you can stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. What stands out in those couple verses? Pray. Pray and pray. But also, I thought it interesting too that the shield was considered the shield of faith. So our level of faith almost parallels with how strong our shield against Satan's arrows are. So that begs the question, how many of Satan's arrows are getting through your shield? I was going to put down a list. If I labeled the arrows of Satan, what would they be called? Depression? Anxiety? Fear? What was that?
Worry?
Discouragement? Any others?
Discontent?
Maybe pride?
Anger?
Judgment?
Hatred?
Yeah. Fear? I'm not sure where I saw it, but fear? Hatred comes out of fear, I think. Hatred has its birth in fear. I think that's what it was. If you're afraid, you would hate, kind of thing. But anyway, I'm off topic a little bit. My point is, the strength of our faith parallels the strength of our shield. And if you're feeling defeated, all those things that we mentioned, or if you're feeling any of those, that's not from God. That is an arrow that got through your shield that is in place to protect you. We strengthen our faith reading God's word all the time. I know James is, it's in the book. It's in the book. The Bible has so much instruction for us. And by reading that, by opening our heart and our minds to what God has to say to us through the Bible, and that's another thing, the Bible is our sword to defeat the enemy. And if we don't use our Bible daily and really dig in, not just one verse devotion in the morning, but actually allow the scripture to instruct us through life, we have a stronger sword, a sharper sword, I guess. And then also believing God is alive and active. The Holy Spirit is right here in this room with us. Just wrapping our heads around that idea that God is right in this room. And He wants to be in this room. It's not like not like He's wasting His time. I want to be here. This is where He wants to be. Let's welcome Him in. And not just into our group, but into our heart personally. And invite the Holy Spirit. Every morning, invite the Holy Spirit to walk your day with you. Like every step you take, that the Spirit would be with you. And then also your availability to God to be used. Like I said before, when I was preparing this, I was thinking about God's blessing, like receiving the peace of God, like living in the Spirit and receiving the blessing. And then I mentioned the parable of the talents. And I always was kind of confused with that parable because it talked about money. And I'm thinking, why is it talking about money? But I think, you know, Jesus used parables because that's what the people understood of that day. And I mean, we live in this world too, so we understand what money is. But if we would look at that parable with the mindset that what God gives, or what that in that parable, the people were given a talent of something. We are given God's love. We are given God's peace. We are given whatever God would want to give us that is good. We receive that. Not to rest in Him, not to keep it for ourselves, I guess, but to give it. If we look at that parable, Matthew 25:14-27, again, it'll be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had achieved the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one who had 2 talents gained 2 more. But the one who had received 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master came back and verified the accounts with him. The man who received 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, said, you entrusted me with 5. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, You wicked and lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have at least put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned it would have received back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant out into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. If we put, instead of money, if we think of blessings that we receive from God, we receive those blessings. If we just keep those blessings to ourselves, we don't really draw closer to God. We just kind of, it's not the purpose of them. God's blessings in our lives is not for us to keep. God's blessings in our lives are for us to give to people we come in contact with, and more will be given to us. It says, Proverbs 11:24 is a short, 2 little verses, and says it really clearly. One man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. What we receive, if we give it to others, if we give the love God gave to us to others, we receive more of God's love. If we give the blessings that God gave to us and give to others, we get more blessing. And with that, we have the experience of growing our closeness to God, our relationship with God grows, our faith in God is strengthened, because we are the avenue with which God uses to reach the world. So we become, but it's a team. Like, we are on God's team. God's blessings come to us and they come out. And by being that, you're not just the bottom rung of the ladder. You're up here, and God is using you, and God are working together, I guess. It's a teamwork effort. God and you reaching the world in your world. Bryden shared, it wasn't this past message, it was the one before, how making an internal impact in our daily life, like not just, and he said, you know, our jobs are great, but they're just physical jobs. They're earthly jobs. And it's neat that we all have different jobs in the world, that we don't all just go to the same place. But through our jobs, we're all dispersed, like different areas of the world. And we can take that opportunity not just to do a physical job, but to do reach a person at that point or wherever you are in your daily life with an eternal impact, not just a physical accomplishment on earth. Sheila, I should ask you, is it okay if I use you in my sermon? Okay. Last Sunday night was a beautiful night, trunk or treat time. Say a short prayer too. And if you, during this week, pray for those Bibles that were handed out. Pray for the impact that the people came through this door Sunday night had with Good News Club sharing the gospel, the Bibles that were received, and the people that have them. Pray for the people that have them and for the Bible itself, that they actually will reach their soul and that it'll make a difference. I was able to stand next to Sheila, and I knew they were planning a trip to Florida. And I knew the logistics, I knew the dates and times. So Tuesday morning, I said a prayer for them. And that was all I was going to do. But then I was thinking about my job, where I was going to work, what I needed to have along with me, so I had what I needed. Before I walked out the house, I just got my phone and I texted Sheila. I said, "Hey, praying for you." Just to let her know, what you're going through, you and Russ. It wasn't easy, I'm sure Russ seeing your brother when you knew he was up and active, and now he's really got a challenge ahead of him. But anyway, I just said, "Hey, thinking of you, praying for you, safe trip, praying for your time with Butch and stuff." And they got back, "Thank you." The thought hit me, that was probably the most important thing I did all day. Because it wasn't physical. I mean, it wasn't painting a wall or whatever I do at work. It was actually a personal connection that you shared love. I want to encourage us all, wherever we are at work, just to share that love. And God, when we give that love away, God gives us more. Don't hold on to the blessings God gives you. And that's why when I was preparing this, I was thinking, resting in God's blessings. We're not supposed to rest in God's presence. We're supposed to take them and give them away so that God can give us more. That strengthens our living close to God is the theme. But, our faith, the level of our faith, our availability to God, making an eternal impact instead of just a physical impact, that all gets us closer and closer and closer to God. It's that, when we actively share God's love for the world, we receive more and we live a life that's closer to God. The level of our faith and the availability of our time to God and our willingness to be God's light in this world, to be used by God, that's kind of a cycle. Your power, your level of faith, your availability, your sharing love, you almost step up to the next level. Your faith increases, God gives you more love. It just is a really beautiful cycle that as you do that, your relationship with God grows closer and stronger and your faith gets stronger. And then when you go back to the shield of faith, your shield becomes stronger. So what Satan's trying to defeat you with doesn't get through because you're so close to God that your shield is so strong. Joe and I, this was Wednesday, yeah. Because Amanda had called, asked for, sermon title, speaker, stuff like that. So I tried to give her a title. And like I said, it was "How Close Is Too Close" is what I said to Joe that I wanted to send to her. But I said, it doesn't seem like it's the point, the whole point. And Joe said, "Well, just give it time. You don't respond right away." And then, this is touching because I think he gained insight through this conversation. That's why it's tough. But anyway, he said, "Well, 50, if you say how close is too close, that means is it 50, is it halfway? Is it so-so? When you think of your relationship with God, is it just so-so? Is it more than so-so?" I told him, in reality, we think of what God has given us the freedom to do, to turn our back completely on him. That's love. But God doesn't want us to turn our back. God just wants us to hang on to him and just walk our life with him. I said to Joe, in reality, every person has to make that decision. How close do I want to be with God? You could kind of see that he was taking that in. Seeing your children apply those things in their life really is touching. And like I said, the most important thing I did that Tuesday when Russ and Sheila left that day was reach out and show love. We talked of different things about the arrows. We labeled the arrows of the evil one. And it brought me to Chris's sermon about depression, different things that really affect deeply in our lives. I was thinking of our family here at Little Topahokan, and I kind of envision it just a safe space for whatever anybody is dealing with. That James brought the verse to us, carry each other's burdens, Galatians 6:2. So if anybody has something they need help carrying, please ask for prayer, reach out, that we can be who God wants us to be, that we lift each other up, we encourage each other, we carry each other's pains, and we celebrate each other's victories, make an eternal impact. And 1 Peter 4, 8-11 is the verse I'd like to close with. Can I back up? It talks about increasing measure in 2 Peter 1, 5-8. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption of the world caused by the evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a sermon by itself right there. 2 Peter 1, I think I started at 3. So that, I mean, that just shows how we just grow in our relationship with God and the love flows out of us. And then in 1 Peter 1, 4, 8 to 11. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do so as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Amen.